panelu s názvem Transformace bezpečnostních sborů. Jako první vystoupí pan Valery Kacunov, který pracuje ve výboru pro odkrývání a odhalování propojenosti občanů Bulharska se státní bezpečností a zpravodajskými službami Bulharské národní armády. Pan Kacunov vystoupí s příspěvkem, který se jmenuje Transformace bulharských tajných služeb po 10. listopadu 1989. Dovolte mi ještě několik stručných slov, abych uvedl pana Kacunova. Předtím, než začal tady působit v tomto výboru, pracoval dlouhá léta na univerzitě v Sofii, publikoval řadu odborných článků a studií, které jsou zaměřeny především na etnické vědomí Bulharů. Nyní předávám slovo panu Kacunovi.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, from the historical perspective, special services have always been a key element in the security system of every state. With the time, they have become an important instrument of governance. In more recent times, the special services were established within a framework of the so-called ministries of power. As a rule, they operate in secret from the public. This is why these services were often called secret services or clandestine services. Unlike various clandestine political and religious organizations that exist throughout the long human history, the contemporary special services have always been a part of the ruling political power. During the better part of the human history, including during the 20th century, the special services of almost all countries performed repressive functions as well. The Bulgarian special services emerged in the framework of traditional power structures, the army and the police. In the period from the liberation from Ottoman rule until the end of the World War II, when the Bulgarian state was monarchy as well as later, in the times of socialist Bulgaria from 1944 through 1989, the special services were systematically used as an instrument of repression. After the changes of 1989, a gradual process of transformation of the special services started. They have been in a slow process of transformation from power structures into information services. In the course of this transformation, the human factor was turned out to be the slowest to reform. Until 1989, the state security system structures was the following. It consists of 6 directorates and 5 independent departments. First main directorate was intelligence. Second main directorate, counterintelligence. Third directorate, military intelligence. Fourth directorate, technical intelligence. It becomes economic intelligence during the 70s. Fifth directorate, secret service protection directorate. Sixth directorate, combating ideological diversion. And departments were first department investigation, second department external monitoring and tracking, third department state security files, archive of Ministry of Interior, fourth department cipher and radio communication, and fifth department mobilization for war. In January 1981, a number of services were founded on the basis of the former state security. The National Intelligence Services was formed replacing of the first main directorate by decree number 152 of 2nd of May 1990 of the State Council of the Bulgaria's Republic, Republic. By the force of the decree, this new autonomous institution was tasked with the foreign policy of intelligence. The fifth directorate became a national personal protection service, and the third directorate was transformed into military counterintelligence, while the fourth directorate was split into the service of operative and Technical Information, now Operative and Technical Information Directorate, and Operative Investigation Bureau, now Operative Investigation Directorate. The National Service for Safeguarding of the Constitution was originally created to replace the former Second Mine Directorate Counterintelligence of the State Security. It was later transformed into a National Security Service. A new act of the structure and the functions of the Ministry of the Interior entered into force on May 1, 2006. On May 18, the government approved the regulation for its enforcement. By virtue of this act, the National Security Service was structured into one general directorate and regional directorates. The service is in charge to providing through counterintelligence and information means the protection of the strategic sites and activities where are relevant to the national security. The new secret services. The Act of May 2006 contains provisions regarding the National Police Service as well. The service consists of the General Police Directorate and District Police Directorates. The General Police Directorate is made up of the following mine departments: Combating Organized Crime, Counteraction to Crime, Protection and Prevention of Public Order, Border Police and Gendarmerie. The General Police Directorate consists also the Migration Department, the Department of International Operative Police Cooperation, a specialized of Anti-Terrorism Unit, and a specialized Aviation Unit. In the beginning of 2007, President Georgi Parvanov launched the idea of creating a new structure, the National Security State Agency. The National Security State Agency Act was adopted in mid-December 2007 and the service became already operational as of early 2008. The National Security State Agency consists of three so far independent services: the National Security Service, or the Counterintelligence, the Military Counterintelligence Service, and the Financial Intelligence Service. It became evident that as early as of the moment of its inception, that the National Security State Agency has been given extraordinary powers, but of the parliamentary committee which was advised by the law to oversee its activities has not been set up yet until last summer. It was the new parliament that established last summer a special committee of parliamentarians to exercise control over the National Security State Agency. In the years following 1989, the country was being torn continuously by scandals inspired by the special services. There has hardly been an affair without one or another special service having been involved in it. In spite of this, in the years of transition, and especially after 1997, Bulgaria did achieve certain progress of establishing democratic civilian oversight in the important sectors of the national security system. The progress has been more significant in the armed forces and less so in the structures of the Ministry of Interior and the Special Services. The new majority of the Bulgarian Parliament in 2009 has the ambition to enforce new structural changes in the security system of the Republic of Bulgaria. In concluding, I wish to emphasize that in the course of the historic development of the Bulgarian Special Services, there has always been a durable relationship between effective oversight and political influence over the special services. they tend to acquire a dualistic nature. In pursuing their goals, they partly defend both national interests of Bulgaria and the political interests of the ruling power. Striking the balance between the national interests and the interests of the political regime is one of the fundamental dilemmas regarding the nature of the professional ethics of Bulgaria's special services. Thank you for your attention.
Děkuji panu Kacunovi za jeho příspěvek a nyní nám Pál Germuška přednese příspěvek s názvem Černý kůň změny režimu v Maďarsku lidové milice v roce 89. Pál Germuška pracuje v Ústavu pro dějiny Maďarské revoluce v roce 1956, zároveň působí jako vysokoškolský pedagog na Laurent Etves univerzitě v Budapešti. Tedy kromě událostí roku 56 se specializuje také na hospodářské a technické dějiny. Předávám slovo panu Germuškovi.
Thank you. Our task was to appoint forces of around 150 companies from among the units, which in cooperation with designated Polish and army units and organizations would be suitable for carrying out the duties of the special police force, maintaining order and riot control. End of quotation. Wrote the national commandant of the workers' militia in his resolution on 10th April in 1989. In the interest of more rapid deployment, the order provided for the establishment of readiness forces within the workers' militia organization, which would be specially trained and equipped. The desire was to assemble the readiness forces in such a way that within a short time they would be capable of performing armed security and special police force duties which arose unexpectedly, maintaining constitutional order in cooperation with the other armed forces, guarding and defending the workers' militia headquarters, weapons and ammunition stores, dealing with activities seriously endangering public order, public safety and order in the country. According to the order, the desire was to organize 17 companies in Budapest, a total of 40 companies in county towns, and the other 93 companies in other provincial units in Hungary. Employment of the readiness forces with a complement of around 18,000 would have been ordered by the National Commandant of the Workers' Militia. This command, from the documents of the Workers' Militia National Headquarters, indicates that certain circles within the state party in Hungary were also prepared to use force in order to push back the opposition movements in the spring of 1989, whilst the party and the state leaders of that time uniformly deny all conjecture of this kind, it is difficult to see things clearly as the 1989 and 1990 documents of the Executive Council, the Ministry of Defense, and the Ministry of Interior are all unavailable for research. So using the documents of the Workers' Militia National Headquarters, accessible at present, this presentation attempts to show in 1989 what plans were in existence for dealing with emergencies, how the workers' militia could have been put into action, how the national headquarters and various workers' militia units reacted to the transition, whether the idea arose of taking action independently of the party leadership and the government, whether there was any genuine basis for the fears of then opposition that the workers' militia could be a starting point for an orthodox communist cop. In January 1957, the temporary administrative committee of the Hungarian Socialist Workers' Party resolved to create a workers' militia answerable directly to the party leader. Then in February, the Presidential Council of the People's Republic established the organization with legally binding enactment 13. Section 2 of the enactment stipulated of the goals the workers' militia in the following way, quotation. The duty of the workers' militia is to defend the achievements of socialism, to guarantee peace for the working people and uninterrupted production, and in addition to counteract the attempts at restoration by counter-revolutionary elements, as well as to support the armed forces in this regard. End of quotation. The government later elaborated the organization's sphere of duties and activities in a number of resolutions. From the turn of the 50s and 60s, the public appearances of the workers' militia were more or less restricted to the ceremonies of state holidays. Large number of workers' militia were rarely used on the streets. They secured the entry of the Hungarian troops into Czechoslovakia on 21st August in 1968, and workers' militia subunits were also given duties in breaking up the demonstrations in Budapest on 15th March 1971 and 72. In the second half of the 80s, at the National Party Conference in May 1988, János Kádár was relieved of the office post and elected as a party chairman, and the political committee and central committee were reformed. On the other hand, the new general secretary, Károly Gross, acknowledged the reforms, But on the other hand, he declared at the National Conference for the Workers' Militia Commandants on 12 June that if necessary, they would resort to administrative measures against the opposition. Of course, the workers' militia was controlled directly by the state party, so it was natural for the armed body always to toe the current party line. In this way, the workers' militia leadership also took up the cry for reform in the summer of 1988, even calling for an unconditional support of transformation. In the meantime, resolutions passed at the February 1989 session of the Central Committee began to erode the foundations of the militia. The Central Committee reinterpreted October 1956 as a popular uprising enabled the introduction of a multi-party system. On 28 February, the national headquarters of the workers' militia completed the commitment plan to be presented to the Central Committee. On the one hand, the document gave a general overview of the operation of the organization to date, and on the other, formulated possible alternatives for further operation. One, direct party control continues. Second, party control is discontinued, but the workers' militia should remain independent under the supervision of the Executive Council. But the Central Committee, however, did not put the question on the agenda for many weeks. On 6 March, the workers' militia was ordered to be on duty from 14th of March till 16th of March. Commandants had to be on duty at the national, Budapest and the country headquarters in order to mobilize the workers' militia within a short time on receiving a request for help from the police. The pressure of public opinion was increasing at that days. On the 15th March national holiday, the 12 points of the opposition organizations clearly stated that condition for the establishment of a free, independent and democratic Hungary was reduction of bureaucracy and the instruments of oppression and the abolishment of the workers' militia. At the end of March, beginning of April, the plan concerning the readiness forces was produced. This was already which has already been quoted in the introduction. The elaboration of this had been ordered by the resolution of the Home Defense Committee originally in October 1988. Formerly General Secretary Károly Gross could still have given orders to the workers' militia commandant at this time, so it's not inconceivable that the party hawks were trying in this way to concentrate forces for the introduction of the state of emergency. This supposition may be reinforced by sentences twice repeated in the commandant decision. Quotation. In accord with our earlier ideas, nothing justifies waiting for the party's commitment, the government's decision, or delaying the performance of our duties. The main point can be summarized in that within the corps, it is not a matter of establishing a separate workers' militia, but of the organization, provision, preparation, and operation, if need to be, of the subunits designated for the duties we know about. We cannot make this dependent on what political commitment government decision is to be expected with bearing on the workers' militia. End of quotation. These sentences can also be interpreted thus. Even without the formal decision of the Workers' Party leading bodies and the Executive Council, the inner core of the militia know what is to be done. According to the decision of the National Commandant, the designation of the Workers' Militia Readiness Forces should have been completed by July 1989. The plans related to their deployment by October of this year, and their equipment by December 1991. In spring of 1989, the Hungarian Socialist Workers' Party leadership put off giving the final word on the future of the workers' militia, supposedly for tactical reasons. Perhaps they consider it more important to keep the opposition forces in a check by floating the issue in the air than to reassure the worried staff of the militia. The informational report streaming into the National Command headquarters radiated impatience. If party makes that no decision in the appropriate time, the internal tension could be disintegrate the militia. At the 8th May session of the Central Committee, in which they approved the creation of the Political Arbitration Forum, the National Round Table, they finally put the workers' militia issue on the agenda under any other business. Earlier alternatives vanished from the proposals and a single solution was suggested, to cancel the previous party resolutions on the party control of the corps, and the workers' militia as a voluntary armed organization should be integrated the People's Republic defense system. The Central Committee accepted the proposal unanimously. In its session of 15th June, the Executive Council put the resolution on the agenda and the public governmental resolution on putting the new order for command of the Workers' Council into legal force appeared on 13th June. The government drew command of the corps fully into its own sphere of authority and prescribed the appointment of a committee which would make a proposal by the end of the year on the new duties, organization, and operation of the workers' militia. Ever-decreasing number of workers' militia men appeared in the activities and training sessions, the enthusiasm waned. In the counties along the western border, however, the workers' militia had more to do, as they helped with the increased border security after dismantling the Iron Curtain. In the July and August of 1989, at least half a dozen militiamen received prize and bonuses for catching those attempting border infringement. For only one example, in the middle of July, close to St. Gotthard city, chase was given to three East Germans. One jumped into the River Raba and tried to escape the Austria by swimming. After 62 warning shots, he was arrested and then all three GDR citizens were taken into the border post. The leaders of the workers' militia could also trust in the survival of the organization because numerous members of the state party leadership continues to stand up for them. We can also witness a certain prevarication in the Central Committee. At the two-day session on 12 and 13 September, in which completion of the tripartite negotiations and the planned Congress report were discussed, among other things, party chairman Rezső Nyers had the Central Committee vote that they would not accept the demands of opposition with regard to the workers' militia. So, the working group of the national headquarters of the workers' militia prepared a comprehensive report by 25 September, which they wished to present the interdepartmental committee appointed by the Executive Council. This compilation faces the anachronistic situation more honestly than an earlier one. Their opinion was unchanged that workers' militia was a significant element in the defense system of Hungarian People's Republic. Its existence reinforced the country's defense capabilities. In last days of September and the beginning of October, the one-time state party, taking a radical turn, did not ask for the support of the workers' militia anymore. The Hungarian Socialist Workers' Party was discontinued at the 6th October Congress, and on the 7th of October, a new party was established, the Hungarian Socialist Party, which also took a position on the workers' militia by supporting disbanding without a legal successor. On 8 October, the Executive Council relieved Sándor Borbély, the national commandant of the workers' militia, of his officer's post with effect from 31 October. Although the opposition's referendum campaign was far-flagging and dynamic in that weeks, the turnabout can hardly be explained just by this. For the lack of documents, we cannot know what happened in the background, when and for what reasons the Ministry of Defense and Ministry of Interior, but chiefly the Prime Minister Miklós Németh and his staff, decided to liquidate the organization after all. Certain circles within the Socialist Party could have argued that by sacrificing the politically totally discredited workers' militia, the salvaging of other repressive organizations, like the State Security Service, could be hushed up. The leading bodies of the Workers' Militia National Command did not hold any more deliberation, and the Hungarian Parliament spoke the last word on the already leaderless organization on 20th October with law. It was discontinued with a legal successor. In summary, we can state that with this actual complement of 50,000 and its huge arsenal of hand weapons, the workers' militia represented a serious force. In contrast to popular suppositions, it did not fall apart morally at all. It had not become disorganized even by the autumn of 1989. It is no coincidence that the reformers or the head of the government at his environment were careful not to incense the workers' militiamen and the party hardliners. The outline plan of April 1989 on the establishment of these workers' militia readiness forces proves that the vague attempts were in fact made to block the course of changes, even though these initiatives died out. The survival of or any kind of transformation of workers' militia, in our opinion, would have involved a security risk for the new democracy. So the dissolution was essential for the guarantee of peaceful transition in Hungary. Thank you.
Děkuji za příspěvek a nyní se závěrečným příspěvkem první části našeho panelu vystoupí Magdolna Barát z historického archivu státobezpečnostních složek Maďarska. Paní Barát se tedy kromě těch státobezpečnostních složek zabývá také sovětsko-maďarskými vztahy a soudobými dějinami Maďarska. Předávám slovo.
Dear colleagues, in my presentation I would like to make a brief overview about the reform process concerning the structure and activity of the Hungarian security organizations. State security in Hungary was built on the basis of the so-called division leadership structure. Main divisions, the state security main division, worked inside the Ministry of Home Affairs, and it comprised five divisions: intelligence service, counterintelligence service, counter-inside reactionary forces, military counterintelligence service, and so-called operative techniques. These divisions and the individual departments meant state security. This structure was formed as early as 1962, and it went on working with a few small changes until the change of the regimes. After the main 1988 meeting of the Hungarian Socialist Working Party, it was made public that one of the items on the agenda was reforming the activity of the Ministry of Interior. That was the first time that such an announcement had been made. According to the documents, the process of reforming the previous structure can be traced after the autumn of 1988. The people who came up with the reform plans were sure that secret service activity couldn't go on unchanged on the old basis. The main efforts were to ensure the continuity of the work of the state security organizations under the new circumstances. They tried to create the best possible conditions in order to guarantee that the so-called party state security organization would turn into a legitimate trade organization with the least possible upheaval. Important changes that hit task and competence was expected mainly in Division 3/3, which was a division that dealt with the so-called inside reactionary forces. The first steps in the reform process were stating the principles of the changes. In the autumn of 1988, scientific work started on the lawfulness of state security work. In March 1989, the leaders of the Ministry of Interior arranged a scientific conference to put down the basic lines of the rules in the new task structure and the work of the state security organizations. The first suggestion for structural development in state security service was made at the end of November 1988 by Árpád Csillai, who was the leader of Deputy Minister Secretariat for the State Security in the Ministry of Interior. His proposal aimed at improving efficiency, and it was based on the idea of changing the guiding methods and that harmonized with the party line and worked according to the abject principles. He thought it would be more suitable for the situation to grasp the main directions and territories of the state security work and to create a corresponding task-based organization. He said all this needed significant changes in the methods. Quotation: "The totalitarian attitude of the past that was looking for enemies everywhere and made red tape flourish must be changed. We have to do scientific research to map, analyze, and protect the fields that interest our enemies most." Shilai's idea was to have organization units basically similar to those in the previous main division structure. According to this plan, Directorate 1 would have been the intelligence service. Shilai suggested that the organization should be made smaller in size and it should do intelligence service work in three main territories: political, economic, scientific, technical, and against hostile foreign organizations. The number of staff in Directorate 2 or counterintelligence service would also have been reduced, and the responsibility would have been counterespionage, stifling inside the reactionary forces, and military counterintelligence. Tasks and departments were to be set up according to these ideas. Directorate 3 would have gathered all the information concerning the work of security services and the activity of hostile forces. This department would have dealt with the task concerning personal, economic, and directing tasks and tasks in connection with the covert activity. Shilai wanted to integrate operative state security record keeping into the work of Directorate 3 to make the approach to necessary data and information easier. Directorate 4 would have been set up from the earlier division that dealt with the operative techniques, and Directorate 5 would have been an observing service, watching inside and outside Hungary, and then so-called active mobile observation service. We do not know what has happened to the suggestion made by Arpacilloi. Some ideas of the reform plans were later taken over, for example, merging counterintelligence service, but state security work was thought to work in totally different organizational frames. Newer plans was for changing the structure of the state security main division can be read in a note written on 10th January 1989 in the Ministry of Interior. This note contains plans for the inside and outside security of the country, considering the necessary organizational and institutional structures and the conditions comprising people, techniques and means. The most important aim in the Ministry of Interior was to make the complicated system of direction much simpler by separating the units that dealt with affairs not strictly belonging to the ministerial sphere of activity and making the different functions of central guiding apparatus more distinct. Two alternatives were taking shape concerning the layout of the state security structures. It seemed simpler to keep the already existing divisions and to do some structural modifications, make the organization up to date, clean the profile of the organization and separate central and regional tasks. There was another idea about a more mobile organizational structure. According to this concept, the intelligence service would have become independent and it would have worked under the name of intelligence office or outside security service. It would have had an independent commander who would have only been controlled by the minister or the deputy minister of interior. If this idea had been realized, the counterintelligence service and the counter-inside reactionary forces would have become an independent organization with an independent commander. The name of this organization would have been the Inside Security Service or the Counterintelligence Service. In this construction, both the Counterintelligence Service and the Inside Counterintelligence Service would have kept their inside structure, of course, with necessary corrections and modernizations. Reform plans aiming at the changing of state security services already took the looming changes into consideration, and they wanted to give preference to professional viewpoints over political considerations. At the end of March 1989, a reform plan was completed at Division CIPER 2 with the title Ideas about modernizing the system of political institutions, especially the state security organization. The plan urged creating an office for the security of the nation, which should be regulated by constitution and the new act of security policy. In this office, the intelligence service and the security service would have worked in close collaboration. According to plans, the new office for the security of the nation would have had 3 service branches. The first one would have been the intelligence service, the second the security service, which would have comprised counterintelligence and inside protection services, and an analyzing assessing department, and the third branch was planned to be a special services branch. The latter one would have contained operative technical services and material, financial and technical services. Leaders of the state security organizations thought that transition in organization and work would need quite a long time. They wanted to use the inside tools in a creative way in the period of transition, and they wanted to stop doing tasks made unnecessary in the new situation. The tasks to seize were as follows: watching former political convicts, defending cultural life, and taking measures against so-called clerical reactionary forces. At the meeting of 9th June 1989, the International Legal and Public Administration Committee of the Central Committee of the Hungarian Socialist Workers' Party discussed the announcement of the Minister of Interior concerning the future of state security services in the changing international and national political situation. The proposal of the Minister of Interior suggested a new structure for secret service. It's not just changing the former five main divisions into three services, such as intelligence service, counterintelligence service, and inside security services. The changes were proposed to take place in two steps. The first step would have been examining the possibility of integrating military counterintelligence into the Hungarian People's Army and making the decision about it further and what to hand to task concerning the nation's economy and the defense of youth over to the National Police Office. The second step would have been applying the new concept in intelligence, counterintelligence and inside defense services. They thought continuous work could solve both this task and structural changes. On 3rd July 1989, the Cabinet of the Council of Ministers accepted the report of the Ministry of Interior entitled About the Questions of the Inside and State Security in the Present Situation. This report didn't contain too many new ideas as compared to the previous reform plans. It emphasized again that the aim of the state security must be the defense of constitutional order and keeping the laws, and accordingly the former enemy image must give way to the defense of constitutional order and detecting activities. In his proposal for the ministerial meeting on 20th June 1989, Deputy Minister Ferenc Pallagi stated that the majority of the staff was able to accept and carry out the new task, but he emphasized that it was extremely important to change the views and aspects of the staff according to the new concept. This was necessary because the staff was not uniformly enthusiastic about the planned changes. Some people were worried lest they should be considered scapegoats of the previous regime's suppressive politics. At a party meeting in the Ministry of Home Affairs on 30 September 1989, the Minister of Interior spoke about the attitude of the rest of the staff. Quotation: "They are people who would happily stay in the world where we have been living and working so far. I think these people have certain illusions concerning the time and political concept of the time before the party meeting of May 1988. In the autumn of 1989, preparations of plans and concepts for new laws went on. Plans were made and steps were taken to modify the internal regulation and practice of state security work. The Ministry of Home Affairs created so-called problems. This was needed for supervising state security regulations in the law decree about state and public security. Inside main division 3, not only preliminary work for the new law went on, but they started to plan the changes of internal regulations. On 18 September 1989, in the Ministry of Home Affairs, Lieutenant Colonels Giza Finster and Josef Parchis completed the documents under the title Proposal for Defending the Security of the Nation and the Organization of State Security Service. The starting point of this proposal was the regulations concerning state security activity must completely meet the requirements of the new democratic circumstances. Documents dating from 20th October 1989, entitled Proposal for Regulatory Principles of the Act on the State Security of the Nation, came up with the different names for the new secret service: State Security, National Security, security or simply security service of the Hungarian Republic. At the same time, proposals were also made at Division 3/2 aiming at the modernization of the counterintelligence service and creating the new organization and working structure of the service. On 7th November 1989, the ministerial meeting in the Ministry of Interior discussed the regulatory principles of the state security of the State and Public Security Act. The memo that was made emphasized the fact that the present legal rules were in contradiction with the principles of the new constitution. A decision was made that special constitution force law must be made concerning state security and the police. The new constitution provided that detailed rules in connection with state security and the police force must be defined by laws with constitutional force. Despite this decision, the government acted within the limit of its own jurisdiction and made a new decision about modifying the state security organization. On 17 December 1989, the Council of Ministers discussed the ministerial proposal about the changes in the organization and to set up and the management in the Ministry of Home Affairs. The government accepted the proposal. We suggested creating the Office of National Security to replace the State Security Organization and to set up a National Police Office. The basic idea behind the decision was to definitely separate public security and state security activity and the latter to be made independent from the Ministry of Interior. According to the decree, the Office of National Security became an independent organization and its regional organizations also had to be separated from the local police offices. According to the government decree, the deadline of setting up National Security Office was 28 February 1990. This was the date when they planned to replace main division C of the Ministry of Interior with this new institute. It would have worked under the Minister of Interior, but as an independent nationwide organization. However, the decree was never executed and the government withdrew the decision 12 April 1990. On 20th January 1990, Prime Minister Miklós Németh announced that the Inner Security Organization would be dissolved and its staff would be sent to other areas of Home Affairs. He also said that the National Security Office was to be set up to deal with defending the Constitution, counterintelligence, and struggle against international terrorism, and that the intelligence service must be an independent organization. Counterintelligence Department, Division C-2, was commissioned with the work of the terminated Inside Security Department as long as the new Act of Security of the Nation would be passed. On 21st January 1990, the Council of Ministers made a decision about setting up the frames of the organization that would be responsible for the security of the nation. They stated the acknowledgement of the report made by Minister of Home Affairs and the Attorney General about examining the activity of state security organizations. They also accepted the measures taken by Minister of Interior that the operative secret service means and methods used by Division 3 were abolished and the division was terminated on 18th January 1990. The Counterintelligence Department was commissioned with the activities still necessary from the point of view of the security of the nation until the Act of Security of the Nation came into force. The government decree also referred to the replacement of the staff in the Inner Security Department. The majority were sent to stop gaps in the Public Security, Traffic, Administration and Criminal Police Departments. On 25th January, Parliament passed Act 10-1990, which temporarily ruled about permitting special secret service measures and methods. The Act also referred to National Security Services. It should be controlled by the Prime Minister. On 2nd February 1990, government gave out a non-published decree and thus created the new secret services with effect from 14th February. The new secret services were as follows: Office of National Security, Information Office, Office of Military Security of the Hungarian People's Army, and the Military Intelligence Office. The two later ones were submitted to the Minister of Defense. At the same time, main division C of the Ministry of Interior ceased to exist. The remaining task of the terminated main division C, like preventive efforts taken against constitution or terror or diversion activities, were given to the Office of National Security, which replaced counterintelligence division. Thank you for your attention.
Děkuji našim panelistům za jejich příspěvky. Nyní zůstává zhruba 5 minut na položení otázek.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Darian Arkey. I'm from the U.S. Embassy here in Prague. I would just like to ask you, in the United States and in the West, security and intelligence services, while sometimes in democracies we're not always happy with their activities, I think you can see even in our popular culture with things like James Bond and television series that we have positive attitudes about the work that they do and consider them something that is a necessary function for government. I'm just wondering, in what I don't like to call post-communist countries anymore because we're a long way past the communist era 20 years later, but In countries in Central and Eastern Europe where the experience with intelligence and security services is quite different, is it possible that from a public perspective they can never be regarded as anything more than a necessary evil to be tolerated, or perhaps never to be considered something that makes a positive contribution to the nation, or is there something else that they can expect in the public eye? Thank you.
Máme ještě nějaké další otázky?
Já jsem nechytla ten rok 14. února. A který rok je to ta tajná policie v Maďarsku?
1990.
Jsou ještě nějaké další dotazy? Takže se pustíme tedy do zodpovězení otázky pána z americké ambasády.
Well, the secret services are every time secret services. I'm sure there will be secret services. In situation now in Bulgaria, I'm sure in all former communist countries, they're the same. But public opinion is not so interested of these services now, 20 years later. And many of the officers are working in a former officers of state security. They are working in a high position in business, in banks, in National Assembly, they are members. So I'm historian and I know very well that nothing will happen. But it is sometimes terrible to read documents, what did they do to an ordinary people.
Děkujeme. Naši maďarští kolegové k tomu už nechtějí nic dodat, takže vám děkuji za pozornost a panel bude za chviličku pokračovat druhou částí.
So, now in Hungary there is a public debate about the role of the intelligence service or counterintelligence services. Unfortunately, the documents of these branches of the state security is not in our archives, or only some documents in the archive. And we know that, for example, the Division 1, which dealt with the intelligence work inside the security services, were on the Hungarian emigrants abroad. These documents are in Hungary, in archives, but the other documents concerning the espionage or technical and economic espionage, not in the archives. And for the public, this activity of state security organizations is not known. And these documents are not known for the researchers also. We know only the documents of intelligence service concerning the activity and his work against the Hungarian immigrants, unfortunately.
Omlouvám se za svou ukvapenost. Nyní ještě pan Žáček má dotaz.
Já mi to připadá ta otázka docela důležitá, tak já bych se dovolil říct takový malý komentář, i když jsem nikdy ve zpravodajské komunitě nepracoval, a nevím, jestli jsou někteří i kolegové, které zajímá naše konference a pocházejí z těchto našich služeb, které mají chránit občany České republiky. Myslím si, že a je to pohled zvnějšku, ale je to určitě stejné pro všechny postkomunistické země, že tyto služby se musely vyrovnávat s tím dědictvím a nebylo to ve veřejnosti vidět, museli se vyrovnávat s tím, že jejich předchůdci porušovali zákony ve jménu politiky, ideologie totalitního režimu a oni navazovali na jejich práci, dokonce řada těch bývalých příslušníků, kteří fungovali v intencích toho bývalého režimu, byli jejich kolegy, možná dokonce i osoby, které učili té profesi a oni museli velmi vážně oddělovat to, co je vhodné používat za technologie a metody a jak to i eticky vnímat v rámci té služby a co připadá tomu starému režimu a to, co vlastně jako know-how od těch lidí přejímat nemůže. Asi to byl velmi složitý proces, velmi bolestný proces, S tím souvisí i proces, postupný proces očisty těchto služeb od bývalých příslušníků. Dnes veřejně známo v České republice, že někteří stále prověření po těch 20 letech v těch službách zůstávají, asi ti nezbytní, já nevím. A každopádně byly zde, jestli vzpomínáte, několik let zpátky určité procesy, kde určitý proces, který se týkal dvou našich služeb, kde veřejnost se dozvěděla z úst některých funkcionářů, že ty služby mají z principu zvláštní postavení a že dělají některé zvláštní věci, které obecná veřejnost nemůže pochopit a že to je děláno v jejím zájmu. Jak můžeme potvrdit asi z těch materiálů, tak opravdu nejsme schopni to vnímat, protože nemáme dostatek informací. Média to vnímají poměrně negativně, protože nechtějí, aby v novém demokratickém systému byly dva druhy občanů. Jedni, kteří v zájmu státu a národa mohou dělat některé speciální věci a druhý, kteří to postavení nemají. Čili to si myslím, že je asi nutné sdělit. Nemáme zde nikoho v panelu z těch služeb, kdo by to mohl aspoň v obecné rovině říci. Nicméně to oddělení se od té minulosti, to oddělení se od toho sovětského modelu, který zde fungoval a který mohl ovlivňovat i ty služby po roce 1990, bylo nejenom přepnutí té spolupráce těch různých dohod, té provázanosti ve společných operacích, ale hlavně a zejména orientace na západní partnery, na vysílání osob ke školením na západ a společné operace samozřejmě s západními spravodajskými službami a pak také ta personální očista, to znamená i fyzické opuštění těch starých metod práce. Já doufám, že by to tady kolegové mohli potvrdit a že jsem se jich příliš nedotkl při jejich těžkém řemesle.
Děkuji panu Žáčkovi za jeho komentář a bohužel čas nás tlačí, takže tuto část otázek musíme nyní ukončit. Panel bude pokračovat za chvíli druhou částí.